Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today our show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Another big summer weekend coming up. And Brewers Outlet with a series of specials between now and Tuesday. Red's Apple Ale 24-pack, 16-ounce bottles, just $19.95. Labatt Ale 12-pack cans, $9.95. Miller Lite 24-pack cans, $12.95. The sale continues there, so stop in for the best deal in town. Imports, domestics, microbrews, they have the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar is second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. Welcome. Great to have you with us on the show today. The person that gives us the ratings bump that we need every week is at the end. That is my brother today, so...
First, you're talking about me for a second there. Oh, that's right. It is that time of the week.
It is that time of the week where he emerges. And we will talk with him a little bit later in the show. It is also one of the slowest times of the year, without question. I mentioned yesterday, and in looking ahead to today's show, about... Look, this is the 25th season for Penn State football in the Big Ten. 25th season. I know we had Jim Delaney on 2 years ago about Penn State's acceptance into the Big Ten. And then the first season in football was 1993. It was going to be this really gradual... it was supposed to go longer than that. And I remember Joe Paterno was like, let's accelerate this thing. Let's go. Penn State had certain contracts that were running out with their Eastern opponents. The contract with Alabama had been up. The contract with Notre Dame had 2 years to go. Notre Dame called Penn State, and they said, no, we'll help you out. We'll, you keep beating us, essentially, so let's get out of it as quickly as we can, and did. So that helped Penn State. The contract with Syracuse had run out. The contract with Pitt had run out. The contract with West Virginia actually still had 2 more years to go. And they were able to work out getting out of that. And Penn State got into the Big Ten and started in the 1993 season. This is the 25th season coming up. So what has this done for Penn State football? What has it done? All right. Well, let's start with this. Being in the Big Ten... Let's see. Let's the pros and cons of it. Let's start with this con. It cost Penn State the 1994 national championship, and it cost Penn State the 1994 national championship because had they been an independent, they could have sought out Nebraska to play them in the championship game in the Orange Bowl. They could have done that because as an independent, you had the flexibility to go anywhere. Well, if Nebraska and the Big 12 was tied to the Orange Bowl, Penn State could have gone there to play them. So that's where it cost them the 94 national championship. You could talk about people who voted and so forth. Like, there's always going to be a bottom line about the 94 season. Penn State had the best team in the country that year. I'm very confident saying that. I mean, in fact, I think they would have beaten Nebraska by 10 points, 2 touchdowns, and moved on. But a lot of the voting on Nebraska, I think, dealt with the fact that Tom Osborne had not won a national championship yet. Now, they didn't know eventually he'd win 3. But I think a lot of that came into play. Osborne went for the 2-point conversion against Miami in 1983. Didn't make it. At least he was going for it. He wasn't going to settle for a tie. You know, he gained a lot of respect for doing things like that. I mean, I respected it when he did it. This is back before you had overtime. And I think there was just so much sentiment that an undefeated Nebraska team that had beaten Colorado in the regular season, which was a huge win for them. I think coupled with the fact that Osborne hadn't won one yet, I felt that played a major role. Being in the Big Ten meant Penn State had to go to the Rose Bowl. They could not get themselves into a championship game with Nebraska like they were able to work out in 1982. Well, in fact, four times. Penn State played Alabama in the Sugar Bowl at the end of the 78 season. Penn State played Georgia at the end of the 82 season. Penn State played Oklahoma at the end of the 85 season. Penn State played played Miami at the end of the 86 season. So four times as an independent, Penn State was able to work its schedule to get into that game. Because remember, Miami played Nebraska in the Orange Bowl. Miami was an independent at that time. Miami was not, I mean, Miami was independent. Were they at that point? Were they in the Big East? Maybe in the Big East at that point. But that wouldn't, Big East didn't have a tie to the Orange Bowl. They were able to have the ability to make to go down there and play them. Penn State had to play in the Rose Bowl. So it cost Penn State the 94 national title just because they didn't have the independence to go anywhere else. So that's one. Obviously, along the way, some of the craziness that has happened in terms of, you know, a drop ball is a completed pass, a guy that's inbounds is out of bounds. In basketball, a guy gets his shirt dragged and the foul's actually on him. And craziness like that happens. But you know what? No offense. As much as we concentrate on it because we lock in on our teams, it happens to every team. It happens to all of them. You may not think it does because you think it only happens to you, and that's not true. If I were to bring in Michigan fans, they would tell you about games against Ohio State. Like, what the heck? What also happened in the Big Ten is that Penn State did not have the ability to control its own destiny on certain decisions. That it was very Chicago-centric. And I remember Joe expressing at one time, privately expressing to me, he says, I've seen a lot of things in my lifetime. He said, I wish every once in a while they'd maybe listen to a couple things I was saying. And so he did express that frustration. Now let's get to the pros of this. And there are a lot of pros. I always felt that going into the Big Ten was what I referred to as, quote, post-Joe Paterno insurance. Now, we didn't know when that was going to be. But Penn State was able to reap the benefits economically as an independent, put basketball and the other sports in the Atlantic 10, but they reap the benefits. You know, they go to a bowl game, they get all the bowl money. They go, they get a TV deal, they get, you know, they're not sharing their money except with the other team. So that was always a plus, but the economics of the game began to change. And when the economics of the game began to change, Joe saw that in the early 80s and in 81, and he was trying to put together the Eastern All-Sports Conference because he saw the dynamics changing. He was on the College Football Association television committee with Chuck Nienas. They saw it changing. And because he saw it changing, that's why he wanted to put an Eastern All-Sports Conference together, because suddenly he saw television as an economic avenue that could benefit everybody. And they already had a deal in place, the College Football Association did, with NBC. They had a deal in place with NBC, and they couldn't make it happen. And, of course, the Georgia-Oklahoma lawsuit came up, and then that finally broke the dam, And then the College Football Association then had to adjust once the dam broke, and they brokered a deal with CBS. That then opened the floodgates of money. The Big Ten, again, so the Eastern All-Sports Conference falls apart. Penn State's going along fine as an independent. But at some point, what can you do to ensure your economic sovereignty down the road? What can you do to make sure that you're going to be in the black every single year regardless? And that was to join a power conference. The Big Ten was that power conference. For the Big Ten, getting Penn State in was big because now for the first time they had an opportunity to open up the Eastern market. And by doing so, I had a friend at Purdue tell me, he says, two things that opened our eyes here right away. This is back in the 90s, he told me this. He said, when Penn State went to the Fiesta Bowl in 96 and played Texas, he said, and all of us got that big check because of revenue sharing, we all looked at each other and said, it's pretty good. And then when the television deal was negotiated and they got more money than ever before, in part because now, hey, look, we're getting into Philadelphia, we're getting into Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Washington, New York, because now we've got Penn State over there. They knew right away that that at least had an influence on getting more money out of television. Well, it benefited Penn State as well. So that economic part made a big difference. Not a little difference, a huge difference. And now the money has exploded all over the place, as we all know. I mean, did the Big Ten handle the situation 5 years ago correctly? No. And we know that. I mean, look, anybody on this end of things understands that they didn't. You cannot rule by mob rule. You must rule by common sense. And but when you look at 2000, 2001, 2003, 2004, Penn State those years did not go to a bowl game and still got bowl money. A lot of people don't realize that. But in those years, Penn State still got bowl paydays in those 4 years where they didn't go to bowl games in 0, 1, 3, and 4. The competition part, you're playing Ohio State every year. You're playing Michigan from now on every year. You played them almost every year before. Michigan State, every year. You're playing Maryland and Rutgers every year because now they brought in, as Jim Delaney properly put it, to Jim Delaney's credit, he talked about Penn State being the bridge to Maryland and the Baltimore-Washington area, Penn State being the bridge to Rutgers and the New York City market. He talked about that, very open about it. Now you're guaranteed playing them every year, and then you can mix in, like for this particular year, it's Northwestern, Iowa, Nebraska. Penn State now has legitimate power rivalries. Again, Michigan and Ohio State may be the number one rivalry, but believe me, Michigan considers Penn State a rival, Ohio State considers Penn State a rival, and vice versa. You've got power rivalries now. Not the long-standing Penn State and Syracuse is a rivalry. Yep, that moves the needle. Penn State and West Virginia is a rival. Well, that moves the needle. Penn State, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State moves the needle. Big time. Big time. Especially now. And with the college football playoff, the bowl money is more than ever before. The stakes are greater than ever before. I mean, last year the Big Ten hit the jackpot with Penn State in the Rose Bowl, Wisconsin in the Cotton Bowl, Ohio State playing in the college football playoff, and Michigan in the Orange Bowl. The Big Ten reaped a lot of money last year. Now the new TV contract's going to come in for the next 6 years. And then when you look at the other parts of it, Penn State's in the best wrestling conference in the country. I mean, without question, the best wrestling conference in the country. Now they have hockey. They're in the best women's volleyball conference in the country. They're one of the top women's soccer conferences in the country. And they're in one of the top men's basketball conferences in the country. Obviously, we've talked about Penn State trying to fight its way through on the men's basketball side. But there's no denying that instead of having Temple come in, Temple, Duquesne, St. Bonaventure, UMass, George Washington, and I mean, GW's not in the non-conference realm, but I mean, those are the Atlantic 10 teams. Now you've got coming in Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Ohio State. I mean, just in terms of level of consistent opponent, of being a tough, tough ride all the way through. I mean, Penn State plays one of the toughest schedules going. They're always one of the top 50 schedules in the country because they play in this conference. And yes, do I want them to win more? Absolutely. Do I want them to win a lot more? Absolutely. Am I glad from day one that the competition is Michigan, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Indiana, Purdue, Ohio State? Absolutely. Because they're among the better teams in the country. I want to see that. Now Maryland's come in. Maryland increases that load as well. But I'd rather see that than out there winning a lesser conference. I'd rather see that. Because I think once you win, there's a greater satisfaction as to what you're accomplishing. So competition-wise, done all of that. So yeah, have there been some bumps in the road? No question there have been some bumps in the road. I mean, even starting with how they botched the vote. You know, that six-month period and everybody mouthing off about, you know, they're at, you know, as you know, they were more mad that as athletic departments, they weren't told about this. That's really what it came down to. It really wasn't much about Penn State. Well, I mean, John Bacon we've had on the show, and John's going to be on the show either next week or the week after, one of the two. We're going to have John on. And John, of course, wrote that book with Bo Schembechler. Bo Schembechler liked Penn State. Bo Schembechler liked Joe Paterno. He just didn't like how they went about at the presidential level getting Penn State in without at least talking to the athletics people to see how they'd make it work. It was sprung on them like everybody else. That's what they were upset about. And that's why it ended up being a 7-3 vote. And Penn State got in by one vote. They got in by Northwestern as the swing vote. But, I mean, John will tell you. I mean, I'll never forget that day, Bo Schembechler coming into Penn State and he and Joe walking across the practice field. And you're just standing there going, wow, that's quite a scene. I mean, Bo wasn't coaching at that point. But it was like, wow. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is there Air promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. And today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the Dills and the Barrels, second to none. As for the specials at Brewers Outlet, between now and Tuesday, Red's Apple Ale, 24-pack, 16-ounce bottles, $19.95. Labatt Ale, 12-pack cans, $9.95. And Miller Lite, 24-pack cans, $12.95. The sale continues there on Miller Lite on the 24-pack cans at $12.95. Stop in for the best deal in town at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time now for this day in sports history. 1937, during the All-Star Game, Earl Averill hit a line drive that broke one of Dizzy Dean's toes. It inadvertently wrecked Dizzy Dean's career. Dean tried to come back too soon, and because he came back too soon, in order to compensate, he changed his motion. He ended up hurting his arm. Remember, Dean had been a 34-game winner. He's the last 30-game winner in the National League. 1953, the Dodgers set a major league record when they hit a home run for the 24th consecutive game. 1964, Shea Stadium hosted its first and only All-Star game. Remember, the only other one was at Citi Field, the last All-Star game for Mariano Rivera. 1985, Boris Becker became the youngest, the first unseeded, and the first German player to win the Wimbledon men's finals. Becker dove all over the court. It really was electric tennis by him. A little bit easier to do when you're on grass, but it was electric to watch him dive all over the court. It was all-out effort to win the 85 Wimbledon championship. 1990, Martina Navratilova won a record ninth Wimbledon women's singles title. And that is this day in sports history. Catch up to date on what's going on with other sports today. And the Pirates are playing the Cubs this afternoon at Wrigley Field. Pirates have won three in a row. They were over the Phillies. After the Phillies won the opening game of that series, the Pirates then ended up winning the next three. And the Pirates and the Cubs right now are scoreless in the bottom half of the third inning. That gets you up to date on that. That's the only afternoon game. Everything else is under the lights tonight, including the Padres and the Phillies. You'll hear that beginning at 6 this evening on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Padres and Phillies coming up tonight with Clayton Richard on the mound for San Diego tonight. And Nick Pivetta, who for the most part I think has been very good. He's had a couple of rough outings. You expect that from a rookie. But Clayton Richard for San Diego tonight and Nick Pivetta on the mound for the Phillies. 6:35 first pitch, 6 o'clock our airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Terry Francona is going to miss the All-Star game. He's having a heart procedure. Meanwhile, Mike Moustakas voted into the All-Star game by the fans in that final five, along with third baseman Justin Turner of the Dodgers. What's interesting is that as of right now, the world champion Chicago Cubs
have only one All-Star, and that's Wade Davis, their closer, who was not with the team last year. The last time a World Series champion had only one All-Star was 2007, when Albert Pujols was the only player for the St. Louis Cardinals. So the Cubs are actually the first World Series champion ever with no All-Stars that were with the team the year before. Amazing. And believe me, the Cubs are really good for baseball. Really good. The ratings last year, I pointed out on the show, was it last week? I was talking about the ratings. ESPN, of course, is number one. Everyone knows they're number one in terms of the sports rating. But for the first time ever, ESPN2 was beaten out by both Fox Sports 1 and NBC Sportsnet. ESPN2 fell to fourth. And a big reason for Fox Sports 1 getting the nod, the huge ratings the Chicago Cubs delivered for them in the postseason. And for NBC Sportsnet, it was a combination of having the Olympics on last year from Rio, along with the Stanley Cup playoffs. But the Cubs do mean something. So when you look at today's landscape, baseball gets a couple of unfair criticisms. One is that they're behind the times in terms of TV. They're behind the times in terms of streaming and things like that. And that is not true. That is a stereotype that is not true. Baseball's all over TV now. Their regional sports network coverage is outstanding. I mean, regional sports nets, you know, well, I don't care if it's NESN, YES, Fox Sports Midwest, Fox Sports LA, whatever. Doesn't, you know, they do well. Streaming. Baseball streams and has been streaming for a while. Baseball has been streaming for a while, so that's not an issue. What about getting locked in with analytics? Baseball really was the first where analytics became important, which then, of course, led to baseball being the first to really take advantage of the fantasy market. I mean, fantasy baseball has been rolling for years now, long before other sports did that. So what's the difference between, you know, why is it that baseball players are not as marketable? Remember, we did the top 100 in the world on marketability, and 37 of them happen to be soccer players. And soccer is the world sport. We know that. President Trump met Vladimir Putin today. Well, next year, Russia gets the World Cup. But there were no baseball players on that list. So what about the ability to market? Why is the NBA able to market their players? Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and obviously the great LeBron James. Why are they able to market these people? Well, baseball, which if you look at the All-Star game, there are 18 starters, including the DH in the game. Only one is over the age of 30. One. Charlie Blackman, the center fielder for the Colorado Rockies, is 31. That's it. Everybody else is in their 20s, and a lot of them are under 25. Baseball has some great young stars. Great young stars. Every once in a while, you'll see a commercial with Mike Trout for Subway. Every once in a while now, you see a commercial with Bryce Harper. But the big difference is this. What turned everything for basketball was the Dream Team in 92. It turned everything for them. Bird and Magic set the tone in this country. Bird and Magic did commercials and the whole deal. But today you're looking at every market, not just gee, can I dominate the American market with this? Everyone is looking to international markets in conjunction with America markets, with American markets. And that's where basketball comes in. That's where the dream team comes in. When they went to Barcelona in 1992, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, you know, I mean, all the way through, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, all of them, Clyde Drexler, Karl Malone, John Stockton. Over and over, all those great players together in one team, they were rock stars in Barcelona. Rock stars. They were the Beatles of Barcelona. And what they did was just by showing up. Now, when it came time to play, they played and they played brilliantly. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to toy with people, blow them out, and leave. They did that in every game. And they were entertaining. And they were quotable. And they were accessible to fans. And what they did was, by going to the 92 games, they expanded the basketball brand and the NBA brand worldwide. Basketball is extremely popular in Europe. Basketball is now very popular in China. It's very popular in Australia now. It's popular in South America. So it's become a worldwide brand. Where that's why in the draft, for example, you see some of the European players taken. But getting Yao Ming into the league took the profile of basketball to another level. Getting Manu Ginobili into the league for South America took basketball to another level. Plus, we all know over the years, Lithuania has been good. Sabonis ended up playing over here. Lithuania is very good. You know, however you want to put Yugoslavia these days, Bosnia and so forth. They've got great basketball there. Argentina has great basketball. Brazil has great basketball. Australia has really good basketball. And it was the brand of the dream team that transformed it. Baseball can't do that. Baseball is very popular in the United States, very popular in Japan, very popular in South Korea and Taiwan. There's not much in mainland China, not much in Russia. Baseball has popular in Australia and in Europe. Okay. But baseball is very popular in the U.S., South Korea, Taiwan, Japan, Australia, and in Latin America. But if you notice the areas I talked about, the NBA is popular in all of them, except for maybe, I mean, to a point Taiwan, to a point South Korea. But the NBA is popular in all of them. But they also have popularity throughout all of Europe, not mentioned. Popular in China, not mentioned when it came to baseball. Their reach and scope is greater with the NBA. Dream Team did that. Dream Team took what was an emerging sport in many areas of the country and it made it a really popular sport. In a lot of countries. Got a lot of young people excited and interested. Soccer is still number one worldwide. And for baseball, you know, I mean, how many commercials do you see with Clayton Kershaw? Max Scherzer, Chris Sale, Craig Kimbrell. These are among the best guys going. Kenley Jansen. I mean, how many commercials do you see with Robinson Cano? Xander Bogaerts, Dustin Pedroia. You know, I think you might start seeing something with Aaron Judge. What about Gary Sanchez? Now, there's one now with Giancarlo Stanton. I saw that. Obviously, Harper. And Harper's only 24, for goodness sakes. And Mike Trout is a reluctant, which is fine. That's Mike Trout's personality. You shouldn't force Mike Trout to go out there and do something he's uncomfortable with. But they don't have the marketability. I think in part because the NBA has done a great job of making their brand a world brand as opposed to Major League Baseball, which it has a world brand, but it's not as ingrained in certain parts of the world, especially certain parts of the world where there's a lot of money. A lot of money in Europe, NBA has the brand there, baseball doesn't. More and more money in China, NBA is a brand there, baseball doesn't. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. And just trying to work out a few details for me showing up in that area. So, I guess that there's been like some suit sabotage on dates or something like that.
So now we know the rest of the story.
Well, yeah. I guess what Jamie came in and talked to you, about what dates I could show up and so forth on a couple of other things. And I guess she looked at the numbers and saw no change in the suit from the last 2 weeks of this week. And I said, well, isn't he on vacation this week?
That's right.
Like, yeah. So it's one of two things. Either he's working really hard while on vacation, or I'll let you pick what you think is going on. He's at home right now going, oh, can't be. Can't be. How about the WBO, the World Boxing Organization? They say they're going to rescore the Horn-Pacquiao fight, but it will not change the result, no matter what they do. But they're going to have five independent judges brought in to score the fight just to see if the judging ringside is in the same realm as the judging of five independent judges. How about that? They're going to have five. Now, I don't think they're going to bring them in. I think they're just going to show them the fight on the tape, obviously, and just let them score it and then independently send in their own cards as to what they how they played out. Because remember, it was a unanimous decision. It was 2-115, 1-13s, and 1-117 to 1-11.
Oh, and I saw I saw that. I saw Pac-Man's got this in the bag.
Well, this is how I scored it. I scored it 115 to 112, Pacquiao.
Yeah.
That's how I scored it on a 10-point must system. You're saying, well, why are they 115-113? You're 115-112. And the reason I've got it at 112 is I thought that Pacquiao was so dominant in the ninth round, I made that a 10-8 round.
I thought that was interesting. After that round happened, the referee went to a Horn's corner. It's like, hey, you need to show me something or we're going to stop this fight. And then that was the wake-up call for Horn.
And to his credit, he showed enough to stay in there.
Yeah.
But no offense, but I mean, Chuck Wepner showed enough to hang in there with Muhammad Ali for 15 rounds at the Richfield Coliseum outside of Cleveland, which was the inspiration for the movie Rocky. But guess what? Wepner didn't win the fight. You don't win the fight by hanging in there. I mean, that's not how you win. You don't win by hanging in there.
It's ironic you brought up Rocky, because Horn had a Rocky-looking eye, that's for sure.
Oh, he had one side of his face. I mean, my goodness. In fact, rumors are those swelling just started to go down last night.
And it's just his face on that one side was just really belted.
Join us on TexasSuperfood.com.
All right, second hour comes up, including the star of the show.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.